Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
I hope that they kind of keep it calm, keep it measured. I think if you get those things right, I think they've got the best potential and headroom in terms of how far they can go and what kind of performance they can deliver. They'll have a great day.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I got out to the Wicklow Mountains, when I came to the end of the line, I felt this sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and every week you can hear stories about criminals, drugs, and the sins of the underworld on my podcast, Crime World.
This was a stitch-up from start to end.
I talk to those who get up close and personal with gangsters, mobsters, and notorious criminals.
They have taught us every conceivable way of disguising cocaine.
Crime World is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, after a lot of humming and hawing and pulling and pawing, we eventually lighted on the theme for Toy Show 2021, which will be wild and in the jungle and on the Serengeti as we embrace the wonderful world of the Lion King. So that's where we're going. A lot of Hakuna, a lot of Matata, and a lot of problem-free philosophies. We are good to go.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. No, not Black Friday, but the Late Late Toy Show, ho ho ho. Tonight, families across the nation crack open the tin of sweets, don matching pajamas or festive gansies, just like the jumper I'm wearing today, and collectively get in the Christmas spirit. But just why do we love the show so much? I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today's Indo Daily is sprinkled with stardust and takes a nostalgic sleigh ride across the history of the toy show, from almost being binned as an idea to raising millions for charity. Joining me today to tug at the heartstrings and the purse strings of the annual Christmas season kickoff are Irish Independent writers, features journalist Kirsty Blake Knox, and TV critic Chris Wasser. Kirsty, the Late Late Toy Show, it's in its fifth decade now, and it's become a cultural institution, but almost by accident, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it was inspired by Pan Collins. She was the senior researcher on the Late Late. And she was walking through Stillorgan Village and saw a toy display in the window of Nimble Fingers, which is a well-known toy shop.
Still there?
Yeah, still there. And she kind of went back to Gay Byrne, and he was the producer and the presenter of The Late Late at that show, and pitched it as an idea for a segment. And he kind of said, no, we're not doing a toy slot. Absolutely not. And that was it. But she was a very tenacious person, and she realised that this had legs. So she turned to Gay's right-hand woman, who was Maura Connolly. Maura was kind of like, she was hired as a secretary kind of for Gay, but the role kind of evolved and she went on to become like a programme executive, basically like the Late Late Show troubleshooter. She was warming up the audience, liaising guests, and if anyone could convince Gay, it was Maura. So Pan went to her and said, I'd love to get you on side. Will you back me up if I bring this up? And Maura said, yeah, of course. So she went to Gay, had a word with him, and it was decided it would go ahead in December of 1974.
We asked one other, some other members of show
here.
Business
excuse me, Guy.
To test some toys for us for the toy show.
The shop jumper.
And,
me.
And here they are.
You,
ladies and gentlemen, Zig and Zag and their friends. Yay!
It was very different back in those days what we have now. Nowadays, we kind of have pretty much a light entertainment chat show. Back then, it was very much current affairs, agenda setting program. Yes, it had the entertainment elements as well, very much in touch with the cultural and societal and political zeitgeist of the country at the time.
Yeah, it's kind of in a way hard to wrap your head around how significant it was in terms of like cultural, political, social conversations in Ireland. Gay loved, he was a really good producer because he loved controversy. He was drawn towards it. He liked creating a show that was compulsive. And you're right, it has changed now. It very much is a light entertainment show. Ryan does not like controversy at all. If he could do The Late Late Show all year round and have not one complaint raised, he'd like that. Gay would have hated that. He wanted people to kind of get riled up and invested.
And that's why this format was kind of at odds with that, with that culture that was in place on the show at the time. But nonetheless, it went ahead.
Yeah.
And it gathered legs.
Exactly. Like he listened, like he was a good producer as well, because he listened to his researchers and he knew if they believed in something, he went with it. And he also had the kind of wherewithal when they looked back at the ratings that had done exceptionally well. It was the most watched segment out of the entire series. So the next year came back as a full show and special within itself. They obviously kind of realized they were onto something. And from there, it just kind of grew. But it was really, at the beginning, it was very kind of like when you look at it now, it's so huge. It's a juggernaut of a show. Back then, it was just Pan. Like, she would go over to toy fairs in Germany and London, source different kind of items that she was going to be looking after. And then she basically put together the entire toy show, one woman. And she would like store all the toys on her desk in Ortiz. They didn't have storage facilities. Her and Maura would have them in their apartments and their homes, and they'd collect them through the year. So it was when you look at it now, where it came from, it seems like quite kind of like a little basic, you know, type of thing, to where it is now, where it's like so kind of controlled and such like a machine, really.
And it was very much a toy show, not a respected a toy show, yeah. Now, but there's a lot more entertainment acts, a lot more celebrity appearances.
Yeah.
Probably less to focus on the toys,
yeah,
now than there was back then. There tended to be a long string of gags about Gay breaking the toys and the toys not working,
oh,
and
yeah,
so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, when it first started, kids weren't in it initially. Like, it was literally the researcher, Pan, or was one of the other researchers, would be telling Gay how the toys worked. They were on air with him. And then it kind of started to evolve. They brought in children. They kind of like to help. They realized that kind of created a fun dynamic. Then in 1981, the Billy Barrys entered stage right.
Gentlemen, a big welcome, please, for the Billy Barry children. Yeah. Oh.
That became a thing in itself.
The Billy Barry kids, so were the entertainment part,
yes,
where they came on, they sang and they danced and they did little routines.
Yeah, yeah. And they were so polished that they kind of became kind of like a yearly, kind of a perennial part of the show, and kind of infuriated viewers in the country.
In their own right.
Yes, yes, in the process. You were probably quite jealous, you know, but yeah, it became that. So it started to kind of gain traction in that way. And then I think when Ryan took over, it kind of definitely kicked up into a different thing. And the emphasis and priority that RTÉ put on it definitely seems to have increased in the last couple of years.
And originally, how did they pick the kids who came on to show Uncle Gabo how such and such a toy, the latest Tonka truck worked?
Yeah, he put out a call. He said on air, he was just like, you know, send in your a little biog and a video clip. And then they would have kind of auditions, and in RTÉ studio, children would come in and do a bit, or they'd kind of say why they should be on. So they did put out a call, kind of like inviting kids in. And Maura Connolly said like they would come in and they would go like hell for leather, like they would be so kind of excited to kind of get on, you know, the program, which they probably still are today, in fairness.
And then you mentioned Billy Barry. They became a mainstay of the show. But over time, the host's Christmas Jumper, that started out,
yes,
with Gay Byrne very, very modestly. You had matching pyjama sets.
Yeah.
You now have people who sell restaurants now selling Christmas boxes of treats to each during,
yes,
the late toy show. It has become a mainstay of families right across the country. again, wouldn't have been envisaged with where it started out. And even Gabo with the Christmas jumper, he was almost reluctant around that as well.
Yeah, like, it's funny. I was talking to some of the researchers who worked on the original, and they said they could never have anticipated what it was going to turn into. And they're kind of, like, you know, Coleman Hutchinson, he was a researcher on it. He's like, he still can't kind of believe that RT gave over 2.5 hours of primetime television to a program ostensibly about toys, you know, like, he's like, it's kind of bizarre. And you're right, when Gay started out, it was like the Christmas jumpers were definitely more muted. They were there kind of like to show that he was in the spirit, but not to detract from the children. Pat Kenny, the costume designer for The Late Late, said that he kind of preferred to go for a muted kind of navy jumper with a logo on it, and occasionally he'd put on, you know, something more festive. But like Ryan Tubridy, more costume changes than Cher. Like, he's like, just goes all out. He's been a rag doll. He's been like, you know, I think a giant lobster. He's just, there's nothing that he hasn't dressed up as this at this stage, you know, almost. So it's definitely, it's gone from being like almost like a nativity play in a school to being like a West End show in terms of like extravagance, you know?
Incoming Mr. Mark McSherry from County Cavan. Hooray! Stop. You going to give me a high five? Do it. Good man. How are you?
Great.
I love the, what's the story with the gear?
Well, I'm the Junior Culture of Ireland.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
And how's that going for you? Enjoying that?
Yeah.
How did you become the Junior Culture of Ireland?
School, mainly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Not much about it.
But how did you become that in school?
They were doing an art competition and they're giving out leaflets, for if you wanted to go up to it.
Sure.
And you could dress up as a Junior Culture and do all that stuff. And yeah. I dressed up as a Junior Culture and I won it.
Chris Wasser, The Late Late Toy Show. It's all about the kids, isn't it? Or is it actually just about the cash?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, it has in recent years, you know, become, you know, something else entirely to what, you know, even Pat Kenny, when Pat Kenny was steering the ship, Gay Byrne before him, where it is a little bit about the kids and it has kind of shifted. And, you know, even when you look at the money that was raised for charity last year, there was 6.6 million euro raised over the 2.5 hours last year. And that's not something that has ever happened on Irish television before or has ever happened with the Late Late Toy Show. And there is more of an emphasis as well on, you know, the backgrounds and stories that the children bring. But at the same time, I mean, I will say, you know, look, it is immune from criticism and from cynicism, and you know, anyone who watches the Late Late Toy Show, you know, and gives out about it probably shouldn't be watching the Late Late Toy Show. But at the same time, you know, pushing all of that loveliness and warm and cuddliness and charm aside, it is a bit of a business. You know, there was a bit of a difference last year because there was no studio audience. But when you have a studio audience there, you then have a fee that, you know, companies and brands must pay if they want to have an audience giveaway. And there's, you know, there's a flat fee of 10,000 euro, for instance, that, you know, if you want to have prizes given away, you pay that fee for your brand, for your product to be advertised. And then you must also provide spot prizes in and around, you know, between, I think it's 130 to 250 euro for a 200, you know, plus audience members. So there is an awful lot of money involved there.
Yeah, so that's, and then as well, that's the one for everybody in the audience, really adding up to a heck of a price, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, one for everyone in the audience costs an awful lot, Fionn. As well as that, if you want your company or your brand, your product in the advertising, you are paying somewhere in the region of 85,000 euro for this, you know, gold package where, you know, you will get that first 30-second ad. You will get the first 30-second ad when it's live, when it's repeated. You will get ads, you know, you will get the advertisements on streaming services. You're guaranteed at least, you know, 175,000 streams. It's all about the money. Now, there is no money exchanged hands when it comes to the actual toys featured. And I should add, this sounds like the coolest job ever. Researchers at the beginning of every year attend toy fairs to see what toys are going to be huge, you know, over the next 12 months or for next Christmas, what's going to be the hottest toy. So there's no money exchange there in terms of the toys that featured, but at the same time, it is a business and it does. And you know, I know it's so lovely to say it's all about the kids, it's all about making us feel nice. It's also about money.
What
people tend to remember out of the programs back over here is not so much the toys or even the presenter. It's the kids, and there have been some memorable appearances of kids over the year who have captured the imagination.
Like, you're right, the toys aren't the things that they remember. They either remember things going wrong with the toys, like, you know, a toy breaking or not working, Gay tossing it aside, or, you know, when people got squirted with a super soaker or the batteries weren't installed. They're the kind of funny moments. And then in from when Pat Kenny kind of started and onward, you'd get kind of breakout stars of the toy show who kind of really kind of connected with people. It could be something like they had a particularly moving story, or they had a fascination with clocks, or they were surprised by a celebrity.
Thank you.
How are you? You just duetted with Ed on the toy show.
I know.
How was it for you?
Oh my God, brilliant.
You didn't know you were going to see him today?
No. So what
can I say? I didn't even know I was going to come in.
He's the main man for us.
Why don't you just tell him yourself?
Well, if he was here, I'd really tell him.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Robbie Keane.
More surprised than anyone else in the world. Like your dad!
Those moments kind of like became the standout moments, and they kind of have started to be kind of more introduced more heavily into the program than that weren't really there at the start.
They're not really a surprise anymore that these things happen. You are now watching the show expecting something really touching is going to happen here, where a kid gets surprised by their hero a family member who has been abroad or whatever.
Exactly. Like on social media, you can see people like saying, like tenor bets this person's going to come out, or who's going to be the celebrity surprises, like, you know, the super fan this year. And it's hard not to get kind of caught up in that, because they can be quite moving and kind of like, you know, exciting when you see how kind of over the moon the kids are to kind of meet, you know, a celebrity or a singer or something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned John Joe with the clocks,
yes,
Junior Culture of the Year. Last year, Adam King with his virtual hug was the big star.
who has
gone on to raise all sorts of money for charity. You also had that touching moment where Gary Barlow comes in, joining in with kids around the world who couldn't come home for Christmas.
So it
does tend to be in tune with what's going on in society at that particular point in time.
Can I ask you another question?
Yes.
Did somebody just sprinkle some laughter dust in here? What do you want to be when you grow up?
A horologist.
A neurologist?
A horologist.
A horologist?
Yes.
Which is to do with the time, is it?
To fix clocks, yes.
You want to fix clocks?
Yes.
Yay!
Yay! Do it!
Let's do it! We've got a hot dog stall.
I can see myself.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah!
I love it. That's called television. Yeah! Hey, flash up your hug so you can give him a virtual hug, because you can't hug him right now because of the thing. Good boy. Because the last time you met, you could have hugged him.
We could have.
And you could have given him a high five. So flash up the hug. It's a virtual hug. Oh, give him a hug.
Do you have a routine on the night, or what was your how does your routine differ now from when you were a kid?
Well, when I was a kid, it was we were always really excited for it. I do remember that it was always an achievement. I could get to the end of the toy show, because it is really long. And as a kid, like, you're kind of like exhausted by the end of it. But I really in my house, that anyway, when we were growing up, with me, my brother and sister, we would definitely all sit down together, like kind of gather together and watch it. And now when I watch it, my kids are too young to kind of watch it at this stage, but I watch it with my phone, because just like the commentary online is as much entertainment as the show itself, you know? And that's kind of almost given it a second life, I feel, for a lot of people, that they can kind of watch it and also simultaneously see what other people think of it. And if something funny happens, they can kind of comment on it while they're watching it. So that is another element of the appeal of it, I guess.
Yeah, you would have been Pat Kenny generation?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember Gable?
Vaguely, like, I do remember bits. I remember kind of, but I do remember Pat probably the best, and then Ryan, and kind of like how different they kind of were in their approach to it. But I liked Pat. I thought he got some really good moments. And I kind of find it funny when you're watching someone who is slightly out of their comfort zone. So I liked Gay and Pat in their presentation technique because they were trying, but they were also kind of like, it wasn't where they felt absolutely at home. Whereas like Ryan literally renames himself, rebrands as the Toy Show Man during the week of the Toy Show. Like, I don't think he's ever as comfortable as when he's doing the Toy Show.
And there's a build up to it effectively from August, September now at this. But once he comes back after a summer break, the talk is about the Toy Show.
Absolutely.
On his radio show.
Yeah, on his radio show the whole time. And you hear about him, he's starting like his dance rehearsals. He's like, you know, picking out the theme. Like it's there's a run up to it. You know, like when I was talking to one of the researchers, and he was saying, Gay used to say on like the Gay Burner, well, the Toy Show's this week, like, Lord help us. And like, Ryan's like, can you wait for the Toy Show? Can you believe it's coming up? How excited are you? You know, like 5 more sleeps until the Toy Show. It's almost, you know, I think he's more excited about the Toy Show than Christmas, actually, you know. So yeah.
So my word of advice to kids is milk it for all it's worth. With their parents, we used to do the thing where we burnt the letter to Santa in the fire during the Toy Show.
Yeah.
And then the elves would get the ashes and bring the letter to Santa.
Oh, that's cute.
Now, I milked that for an extra couple of years because I realised it was more profitable on Christmas Day to actually, like, the parents think you were still into that. Yeah. Do you look forward to your own kids watching it, or do you think it's become too kind of commercialised stage at this point?
I mean, I kind of feel like, can you really take yourself seriously if you say this is the too commercial aspect of Christmas? Like, I mean, the whole thing is commercialized. I feel like you can't kind of pick the Toy Show as being that's the step that's too far. It's also so much fun. It is a fun show to watch, and it's great chatting to people about it, and I like, they get so excited, and I feel like you'd have to be a real monster to kind of say to your kids, no, you're not watching it, cause, even if everyone in your school's talking about it, because I think it's a bit too commercial. Like, I feel like you'd be a pretty bad parent if you insisted on that, you know. So
and have you one memory of all the Toy Shows that you've watched, does any one incident, item, guest, kid, toy stand out for you?
Well, I think there's like stuff that you've watched back and like now it's become like a really definite memory, like John Joe was so funny. I did really like it when Girls Aloud surprised that little boy and he looked traumatised.
Okay, Toby, do you know who they are, Toby? Do you know who they are?
I do like Ryan singing and dancing. I think it's really kind of sometimes kind of wonderfully cringe inducing, like, you know. So I think there's definitely kind of elements like that I really enjoyed.
Right, time to get stocked up on the tin of USA biscuits, mince pies and the TK lemonade for tonight. I'm Fionnán Sheehan and today's episode was produced by Siobhan Maguire with sound design by John Smith. Archive clips from independent.ie and RTE. You can listen to The Indo Daily wherever you get your podcasts.